Good evening, everyone. Name here is Shane, N0PXT. Welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society's System Fusion Radio Net. This net operates on the Minnesota-Wisconsin Room 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control operators are K0ORK Chuck, AD0MIP, K9EQ Chris, N0YQ Steve, W4IOD Otis, N0JOL Joe, and N0PXD Shane. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and the founding sponsor of the Pavick Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he is a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Earl and BARS at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Mounds View, Minnesota. There is a chat window available at hiamoperator.com, select MinWiz, then MinWiz chat. Net control will only take check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. This is questions or comments for System Fusion. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We will acknowledge your call in the order it was received. You can also try emailing us at net@hamoperator.com. And a reminder, again, there is a chat window available if you cannot get in. Right now, we will stand by for any announcements for the net. If you have an announcement, please come now with your name, city, and state. All right, hearing nothing for announcements, we'll now start general check-ins. As a reminder, we are taking check-ins with traffic only, so questions or comments about MinWiz or Yaesu System Fusion or WiresX. Please come now with your name, city, or state.
This is November 1, Delta Golf, Quebec, Frank in Nashua, New Hampshire.
For Juliet, Alpha Paul, John. North Georgia.
All right, I got two there. I have N1DGQ Frank and N4JAP John. So we'll go to Frank, N1DGQ. What's your question?
This is N1DGQ. My question concerns the audio level on the Yaesu FT70 handheld. I noticed that when I work digital mode, the audio is fine. But if I worked FM through an analog FM through a repeater, my audio is muffled and it's very low. I have to speak very, very close to the microphone. I have increased my mic gain to the maximum level of 9. And it didn't seem to help very much on the FM analog audio. However, going digital, it seems to be fine. My question is this. Has anybody else experienced this problem? And if I bought the external microphone for the FT70, would that solve my problem? Someone told me that there might be some kind of membrane behind microphone hole on the handy talkie in order to make the handy talkie water resistant. So I was thinking if I hooked up a external microphone, it might solve the problem. Does anyone have any answers? Back to net control. I hope you understood my question.
All right, Frank, thanks for your question. I'm going to pass it over to Chris, K9EQ, and he'll help you with that question. Chris, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I would say most people don't have audio problems as severe as you have. I would say your gain is too high on digital right now. You're hitting it pretty hard. Normally, the default setting for audio gain is the Yaesu has is a little on the high side on most radios, so I generally find with my FT70 that's setting it onto about a 4. Otis sets his to a 3. And then I'll hold the thing like a couple, 2-3 inches away and talk in a low, normal voice. And there is pretty much across the product line, you'll probably notice that the FM levels seem to be a little on the low side when you do that. So I just climb up on the mic and talk louder, and that seems to work for me. Otis on analog sets his to 7, and that's just been kind of with the system. There are a couple things that can happen. I mean, if people are comparing you against other people, and there are a lot of people that run their audio, you know, way too hot on FM. Since the mic is working okay on digital, that would tend to indicate the mic is okay. Because, you know, the waterproofness of the microphone isn't going to change whether you're on analog or digital. The only thing it could possibly be, is that the factory calibration was wrong on FM. But I find that highly unlikely. Like I say, my observation has been that a lot of people on FM will run their audio too hot. And when, you know, you're in a conversation with other people, the person that is the most bodacious will tend to dominate, and everybody else will have pointed out to them how their audio is too low. So, so there you go. I suspect there's nothing wrong with the radio, and it just has to do with the various operators and stuff like that. Unfortunately, I can't. You know, I can't. I think you're on the. I'm not sure how you're coming into the system actually. Let's see. Otis is saying. Okay, I guess Otis, do you want to jump in there? I guess I'm not completely understanding what you're saying there. Maybe you have some information on the subject.
Thanks, Chris. Let's see if we can help him Frank out with the audio issues. Typically on the FT70, what I found as far as the Azu handhelds, it's got one of the best vocoders in any of the HTs, even though it's a entry-level HT. There is a difference in the audio versus, you know, digital narrow versus wide, more fuller audio sound. Even in digital narrow, typically most folks notice that it sounds a little bit different as far as a fuller sound, as far as the vocoder inside the radio. I would say that if you contact Yaesu, the first thing they're going to ask you to do is a full factory reset and see if that corrects the problem, Frank. And then outside of that, they're going to probably ask you to send it in. I do have one friend that actually spilt a liquid. I think it was milk from cereal that actually got splashed in his HT and had some speaker issues and needed to go back to Cypress as well. So outside of that, I don't really have any suggestions other than probably what Yaesu is going to tell you. Do a full factory reset, see if that corrects the issue. That is not typical of the FT70. As Chris aforementioned, the only issues that I'm aware of with all the Yaesu HTs actually is the difference. You're fighting the mic gain when you switch back and forth. Chris crowds the mic. I typically move that, and then as usual, I forget to switch it back when I go back to digital. So hopefully that helps you out. Back over to you, Chris, to see if you have anything else to add. W4IOD, back to K9EQ.
Okay. Nothing additional that I have here. Anyway, Shane, back to you, K9EQ.
All right, thank you, Chris and Otis. Frank, back to you to see if that helped you in at all. Let us know if you have any more questions.
Yeah, okay. I have backed off from the microphone, and I'm running through a hotspot through a YSF reflector on a hotspot, a Shark RF open spot 2. So hopefully my audio is a little more subdued digitally. But like I said, I increased the mic gain to the maximum level of 9, and the FM audio is still very, very low. I have to really basically go right next to the microphone hole on the handheld. That's a very close talk, very much. But nobody, I'm wondering, though, once again, if an external mic might solve the problem. And as far as the factory reset is concerned, I could try that. I had not thought of that. So my only other question is, does anybody have any comments about the wisdom of trying an external microphone?
All right, Frank. Well, I can tell you, you sounded much better to me on that last transmission. And I'm talking to you on Yaesu's HT external mic, speaker mic, on an FT3DR with a mic gain set at 4 right now. So that's what I'm talking to you on. So you can always just try it and report back and see how you sound. But digital-wise, you sound very good right now. So with that, we'll move on to N4JAP, John, in Georgia. Go ahead with your question or comment. This is N0PXD.
N0PXD, net control, N4JAP. Good evening. So I'm hoping someone could maybe shed a little bit of light on a kind of a mystery about if they've heard or have any good intel on when Yaesu might be getting some stuff in supply. There's one in particular, that 991A, that I'm waiting for, but it's out. But here's the rub on that. I know that there's a semiconductor issues and et cetera, and supposedly there was a fire at a semiconductor plant somewhere that affected, I know, another amateur radio manufacturer. But what has me wondering is, because I was under the impression, obviously falsely now, that the 7250 was discontinued. And then now I'm seeing them popping up on some of the bigger retailers' websites. And so if anybody has a scoop on what's going on with equipment and all, hey, I'm all ears. Good net tonight. N4JAP.
Comment, K7REA.
All right there, John. K7REA, you have a comment, and can you give us your name, city, and state, please?
Yeah, this is Ken in Coos Bay, Oregon. K7REA. I was going to state, and, with the guy having the audio problems on analog side, to make sure he's in the wide FM instead of the narrow FM. That'd probably make that difference. K7REA.
All right, thank you for that, Ken. And I'm going to pass it over to Chris, K9EQ, for the Yaesu supply issues. So, Chris, this is N0PXT. Passing it to Chris, K9EQ.
Okay. Well, COVID has caused supply issues throughout the electronics industry. I mean, you know, working on a project here, and I've seen issues with, you know, some of the supply shortages and things like that when I'm trying to get some integrated circuits and things like that. So there's been a lot of disruption from COVID throughout the industry. Automotive plants have shut down because they can't get the chips that they need. And you might think there are all these different chip companies, but you essentially have one major manufacturer of ICs that dominates the industry where most of the chips come from. So anyway, I'm sure Yaesu would like to have more FT991s to sell you, and they are probably working as hard as they can to make sure that there is availability, but there is a lot of pent-up demand and things like that. For example, you cannot buy a telescope. It just isn't going to happen. So it's affecting a lot of different areas. With respect to the 7250, it is discontinued. So what you're essentially seeing is some new old stock. So I don't know where it came from, but there was some inventory somewhere that finally made it over here. I should also mention that there are a lot of COVID-related issues with the shipping industry. We just had a major kerfuffle in the Suez Canal, and there's a critical shortage of the shipping containers. So a lot of stuff is not getting shipped because of a lack of shipping containers, of all things. And so, you might have, product either, waiting its turn to get into a shipping container before it can make the journey across the ocean. And some of these things are just out of the control of companies like Yaesu and stuff like that. So there's a lot of issues like that going on. But I'm sure there's used equipment out there, so you could probably find some used equipment. And so on. We're waiting for them to become back in the stock again. I've actually thought about writing a little script for hamoperator.com that would keep tabs on who has what radios at what price. So, maybe there's a lot of interest in that. I'll do that, but be limited, to Yaesu and a few other things like that. So, anyway. Let's see. Okay. I guess that's about it. We're having some little chat back and forth about the Yaesu service also. That's being delayed for similar reasons. Anyway, at least California is doing reasonably well now with the COVID. We seem to be doing pretty good, which hopefully will allow Yaesu to operate more efficiently with the returns and product repair. Back to NetK9EQ.
All right. Thank you, Chris, for your question or comment. Sorry about that. Apparently my mic came disconnected. So if you have questions or comments for the net, this is a question about Wires X or Yaesu System Pune. Please come now with your name, city, or state.
November 0, Mike Quebec Lima, Kelvin, Centerville.
All right, I have November 0, Mike Quebec Lima, Kelvin, out of Centerville, Minnesota. Go ahead with your question.
I have a pair of FTM-300s. One of them stays in the house, and most of the time is connected to the PDN mode, direct mode, whatever, to the WiresX software on the Windows PC. When I am going to head out for a short while, I will sometimes flip it into the other mode such that it retransmits, for example, AmericaLink, out to a simplex UHF frequency that I can hear in the car, and I'm able to work both ways with it. It's like having a hotspot, only far, far more expensive. But the frequency that I picked, I just picked the one that my old hotspot that doesn't work uses, but that probably has the potential to interfere with a lot of other people's hotspots. And the question is, do you have a recommendation for a different 70-centimeter frequency to use for that kind of purpose, and zero MQ.
All right, Kelvin. As far as your question, it sounds like you're asking what 70-centimeter frequency you should use for your hotspot. Is that correct?
No. I'm talking about an FTM 300 running at high power with a 5/8 wave vertical on the roof. It puts out a lot more power than a hotspot does. So it covers a easily 6-mile radius. My concern is interfering with other people's hotspots because I'm blasting the area on that same frequency. I should pick a different frequency that other people's hotspots are not likely to be on.
All right, Kelvin, I'm going to pass you over to Pete, AD0MI. Pete, can you help him out with this? This is Shane, N0PXD.
I am trying to get into the Minnesota Repeater Council's page here. They changed up their band plan here a little bit recently, giving some more simplex frequencies on UHF, and it would be irresponsible for me to just start throwing out frequencies. So give me a few minutes to look this up, and I'll type it in the chat to you. Back to you, Shane, 80MI.
All right, Ron, as soon as Pete gets back to me here, Kelvin, as soon as Pete gets back to me here, I'll throw you back in there. And we had a KJ7RJC, I believe. If you can give us your name, city, and state, looks like you came in and doubled a little bit there. So go ahead with your question or comment. All right, Ron, sounds like you're only coming across Yaesu System Fusion right now. You're not actually coming across MinWiz. So stand by for 1 second. I'm going to pass it over to Otis so he can help with Kelvin's question with the UHF frequencies. Stand by.
All right, Shane, let's see if we can help Kelvin out with this. And this is an issue not only with WireZX nodes, but hotspots as well. So it'll apply to all of them. About like Pete says, it's one of those things where you may want to check with your repeater coordinator. As far as, I think the first hotspots that actually started coming out, they were right in the middle of the AMSAT, Oscar coordinated frequencies. That created a completely different issue. But here's what I found as far as checking, listening for an open frequency. It's always better to go with an odd number than an even. So, for example, you fall into the auxiliary repeater links, which your node would. Try to come up with an odd number, or, they're in 12.5 kilohertz steps. So, 433.7625. From there, 433.7750. It's one of those kind of have to find what's vacant versus creating interference. So it's always a good idea to check with your area's frequency coordinator because things are different all over the country. So for me to give you an absolute, I can't do that, but I can tell you the auxiliary repeater links from 433 to 435 would be a start. Also, there's a second block at 445 through 447. Just a good idea to check with the repeater and frequency coordinator of your area so you don't interfere with someone else's either coordinated repeater or what have you. Hopefully that helps you out a little bit, Calvin. There is no absolute number there for me to actually give you. I could tell you what I'm running here, but it doesn't mean it's not occupied with where you're at presently. Hopefully that helps him out. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, thank you, Otis. And yeah, Calvin, as far as your hotspot goes, like they've all said, just monitor the frequency you have it set for and make sure no one's operating on it and give it a go. And just check with your local repeater control and see if they have it. And going back to Ron, KJ7RJC, Ron, you're sending really bad data. I'm hearing you across Yaesu System Fusion, but no one is hearing you on Wires X. So you need to check your hotspot data and see if you are sending some good signal there. So take a look at that and maybe check back in a little later if you get something fixed. With that, if you have any questions or comments for the net, I'm at the bottom of my list, and I'd love to hear your questions or comments. So this is Shane in 0PXD. Come now with your questions or comments with your name, city, or state.
N1DGQ with a follow-up question for you, Shane.
All right. N1DGQ. Frank, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I believe you said you're using an external mic with your Yaesu handheld. Have you tried using the external mic and using the mic built into the radio on FM analog? And have you gotten the audio reports any different whether you're speaking through the external mic into a FM analog repeater or whether you're speaking directly into your handheld to an FM analog repeater? Have you gotten any reports if there's any difference?
All right, Frank, yeah. So when I run digital, I run a mic gain of 4 or 5. When I run analog, I run a mic gain of 8 or 9. Typically, I use my FT3 for both. As far as my FT70 goes, I run that digital only, so I have that just set at 4. But I do know when I talk on the local repeaters, I have to turn my mic gain up to 9 in order to get a physical report. I hope that's all.
To me, it's just a nuisance to keep adjusting the mic gain back and forth. But it sounds like you're probably getting the same results with or without the external mic. So I'll send it back to Net Control and let you continue if I understood you correctly.
Yeah, Frank, unfortunately, that's just the hassle you have to deal with when you go between digital and analog. So with that, I'm at the end of my list. So if you have a question or comment, please come now with your name, city, or state. This is Shane, N0PXT.
Kilo 8, Alpha Mike Papa, K8AMP, Tom in Belleville, late check-in, no traffic.
All right, Kilo 8AMP. Thanks for your check-in. We are now taking check-ins with traffic only. This is Technical Net for Wires X and Yaesu System Fusion. So if you have questions or comments, please come now with your name, city, or state. All right. Hearing crickets out there, so I'll ask again. If you have a question or comment for the net regarding Wires X or Yaesu System Fusion, come now with your questions, with your name, city, or state.
Don't ask me before 1/2, Tango Papa Alpha. Name is Jason, Manila, Philippines.
KJ7RJC, Ron from Tucson, Arizona.
All right, I got two there. I got a November 2 Tango something. Sorry, I missed the suffix there. And KJ7RJC, you're coming in through Wires X now. So we'll pass it on to N2 Tango something. Go ahead with your name, city, and state, please.
It is Delta Uniform 1/November 2. Tango Papa Alpha. Name is Jason. City is Manila. And the country is the Philippines. And I just had one question for the net.
All right, thank you there, Jason. Go ahead with your question or comment.
I've got a DR2X, and I was thinking about putting two antennas, one for receive and one for transmit. And the plan is to have 5-watt transmit, and then, you know, put it on low power, attached to a 5/8 wave antenna, roughly 20 feet away from the repeater, and then a second antenna for receive, and put it about 50 feet above the repeater on the tower. The thing is, I'm waiting on an amp right now where I'm going to have 100-watt transmit power TPO. So is that enough separation between the receive antenna and the transmit antenna, or should I make the receive antenna a little higher?
All right, Jason. First question, is this VHF or UHF? What I'm reading here from Pete is it might not be enough separation for VHF, but might work for VHF or UHF. Can you explain to us what frequency range you're looking at?
This would be for UHF around 442 megahertz.
All right, Jason. I'm going to pass this on to Chris. Looks like he has some comments on this. So K9EQ, this is N0PXT. Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. I was on the YSF by mistake. There's a lot of factors involved here. I missed. Did you say you're on VHF or UHF?
Sir, that was UHF, around 442 megahertz to 445 megahertz, roughly around there.
Okay. The DR2 repeater has a pretty darn good sensitivity, and you really don't want to do anything that hampers that sensitivity. You can calculate whether these things work by, you know, looking at things like the transmitter power output. And then there's information on the receiver, how well it will reject off-channel signals, and then the repeater and the receiver sensitivity. And for what you're describing with 100 watts out, you probably need something on the order of 100 dB of isolation. Absolute bare minimum would be like 90. Probably at least 100. And the question is whether your two antennas at so many feet apart will give you the 100 dB of isolation. You can measure that by pumping a signal into one antenna and then seeing how much signal you get out of the other antenna on the same frequency. And if you did that, you'd want to see that there'd be a difference of about 100 dB. And so, generally the approach people will take is to run one antenna and a duplexer to provide the isolation. You will still want to run some kind of mechanical cavity filter on the input to the receiver. These radios and repeaters are designed to be very frequency agile, and gone are the days when if you move the frequency by half a megahertz, you had to retune everything in the receiver, so they don't have the selectivity that the old boat anchors had. So generally, you do need to provide some kind of filter system. The filters typically will put a notch on the frequency of the transmitter, and then also have a bandpass filter on them as well. You also want to be cognizant of signals on other bands, like cellular transmitters and things like that that might be putting out a lot of power. But I would highly recommend, well, let me ask you another question. Are you just like setting this up at your house, or is this going to be at a site where there are going to be other repeaters operating?
This is going to be on top of a high-rise building, and it's roughly 250 feet up in the air. Then there's a tower, and we'll be the only repeater on the tower. But this is going to go downtown Metro Manila. So there are other repeaters in the area, just not in our frequency range. We'll be the first UHF repeaters.
Oh, they don't use UHF out there? Works better in a city. Yeah, the reason I ask that is if you're going to be anywhere around other repeaters, to be a good neighbor, you want to have some filtering on the transmitter as well. And the antennas make a difference too, you know, whether you're, you know, using good commercial antennas or some of the amateur antennas. So, for example, one of the things that might mess you up is you don't want radiation on the outside of the coax. So if the if your feed line is not matched correctly into the antenna, you'll end up with RF radiating on the feed line. And if that... You know, if that that feed line goes close to one of the other antennas, then you're going to have some unintended coupling. For an example of an antenna that's horrible at that, just about anything made by Cushcraft, but particularly the Ringo Ranger and some things like that. Generally, any antenna where you have little radials sticking out of it, that's a hint right there that they're trying to decouple from the antenna to the feed line. And you'd prefer an antenna that did that more or less by design. So anyway, I would highly recommend getting some filters. You can always, you know, if you have a busted duplexer and you can use a couple of the cans out of it, you can always use those. And then experiment. But I think 100 watt amp might be overkill. I would certainly be prepared to run less power than that. More power just makes all these problems worse. So, you know, when you start looking at those kind of power levels, it's usually a good idea to have all the filtering and stuff like that ready to go. And, you know, like these little mobile duplexers and stuff like that, they're garbage. It's, you want some substantial, repeater grade hardware. So anyway, as far as UHF separation, generally 60 feet, I think you said there's going to be 60 feet difference, should be fine. Depending, you can usually get by with less than that, but help yourself by using, good feed line, and you might be inclined to run the feed line as far away from the other antenna as possible, because I'm sure you're going by the antenna on your way up or something like that. So anyway, those are my suggestions. See if you can get some filters, in particular a notch filter for the transmitter you put on the receiver, and don't be surprised if the 100 watts doesn't work. Back to you, Shane, K9EQ.
All right, thank you, Chris and Jason. I hope that helped you. If you got any additional questions, let us know. But we'll move on to KJ7RJC. Ron, go ahead with your question or comment.
This is KJ7RJC, Ron. I have a problem that comes up, a message that comes up on my FT3D screen when I'm operating in PDN mode, and it says disconnected. and I'm wondering if anybody else has seen this, and if so, some idea of what I could do to make it stop that. Thank you.
All right, Ron, you have a really nasty echo coming through on your signal. It sounded like you had a question about an FT3 PDN mode, is that correct?
That is correct. I'm not sure what the echo is.
All right, Ron. So you're having... You're using your FT3 in PDN mode, and then what's the issue after that? KJ7RJC, this is N0PXT. Can you repeat your question one more time about your FT3 in PDN mode, please?
I'm wondering if the message I get on the FT3 screen disconnected is something that someone else has seen, and if so, what I can do to make it stop.
All right, Ron. First, can we have you turn down your mic gain, possibly? Maybe down to a 4 or 5 so we can understand you a little bit? All right. Looks like we lost Ron there. So, Ron, if you come back, let us know. Otherwise, we'll make this last call for the net, So if you have a question or comment with WiresX or Yaesu System Fusion, come now with your name, city, or state. N0MQL with an entirely different question. All right, N0MQL with an entirely different question. Close it up for us. What's your question or comment? WiresX software on Windows has got a bookmark stain in the upper left. And when I was trying to put something from the lower left, the list of rooms, into the bookmarks, as you well know, that lower left pane moves a lot. And just as I was right-clicking, I grabbed the wrong thing. So I ended up with the wrong thing in my bookmarks. And for the life of me, I can't figure out how to remove a bookmark. And I can't find any mention of it in the manual for it. Does anyone know how to remove a bookmark from the WiresX software on Windows N0MQ? All right, Kelvin, I'll pass it over to Otis. W4IOD, go ahead. This is N0PXT. Shane.
All right, Shane, let's see if we can help Kelvin out. Running version 1.53, just so everyone can follow along if you need to know the answer to this question. As far as deleting or managing your bookmarks, Kelvin, you've got the File View, Connect, Tools, and Help at the top of the WiresX software. Under View, click on it, a drop-down menu will appear, and you'll see Bookmark Info. With parentheses, uppercase B. If you click on that, it will bring up all of your bookmarks, and you'll see an add and delete window, as well as two check boxes that you can either check or uncheck for show the offline node slash room and show the closed room. But you click on the bookmark you want and hit delete and close the window out. It's that simple. Hopefully that helps you out. And Shane, right back to you. Hopefully that answered Calvin's question. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, thank you, Otis. And Calvin, does that help you out?
Yeah, I got to a bad receive spot just as he was giving the answer, but if I understand correct, there's something about it in the help menu. I looked there before. I will look there again and see if I can find it. That's probably enough of a hint to get me barking up the right tree. Thank you very much. 73 all and 0 MQ.
All right, Kelvin. And just to refresh, yeah, if you go to View and then Bookmarks and then highlight the room you want to delete and then delete, you'll be able to get that. With that, we'll bring the net to a close. And thank you for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for the rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming the use of the room. And please join us again next Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is N0PXT, Shane, and Claire.